Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Shane Smith. Neither of us are fucking drinking today.
No, and this is the podcast where comedians drink beer, talk about crazy conspiracies. This week, we are talking about the real-life basis for the Stranger Things series, Montauk Air Force Base. Yeah. We've talked about this before, but since the series just kicked off season four, and that episode is somewhat archived, plus Montauk's like maybe my favorite.
Yeah, conspiracy. It's perma fun. We can always talk about it.
Yeah, and I found some new stuff that I thought was cool. So I'm excited to talk about it. If you're joining us because you just saw me open for Nick Mullen, and a lot of people are like, I'm going to listen to your podcast. Well, here, hopefully you're here. And I said, if you didn't get a sticker, just message us on Instagram and we'll get you one. But I'm excited. So, they were very fun shows. I got to feature for Nick Mullen, who you may or may not know. He's a big conspiracy theorist. And
cool. We got to have him on.
Yeah, he's interested.
Cool.
Nice. So, so that was fun. I've got the North Carolina's Funniest Person 2022 contest coming up, although I'm not competing this year.
No, you won last year.
I get to host.
Nice.
That's my month of June and July. How about you? What's been going on?
Let me just say this, if I sound weird, I have COVID.
Yeah.
Finally caught it 3 years in.
Sound like a little bitch.
I am. That's what I tested positive for.
You didn't even get Delta.
No, I went straight for 1BC. They're changing. They don't even call it Greek.
They don't even do that.
Yeah.
This is a episode that anyone can hear, but we also release a patron episode every week, and you should join that for a paltry sum of money. Or we have this whole other streaming service that you can catch us on.
Right. Yeah. We're on Rockfin.
Rockfin, right?
Yeah. It's $10 a month, but you get access to all the content they have. They have a ton of stuff, more stuff than you could ever watch. So
yeah,
check that out.
We have some giveaways for our wonderful sponsor, Manscaped, coming up.
Yeah, we do.
We're excited about that. And okay, enough of that.
Enough of it.
I don't like this part of the pod.
Yeah, fuck it. Get up. Yeah. Sucks.
Well, look, I do like this part of the pod where I get to bring in our guest, who's a friend of the pod, a friend in comedy. He is one half of the very funny podcast Bop or Flop, and he's back joining us. Welcome to the pod again, Spencer Bland.
Hey,
what's
up? Hey, you watch Stranger Things,
dude? I I'm not like a rabid fan, but I mean it's a good show. Like if I'm being honest, I forgot that it was still a thing because there was so much time in between this season and the last one, obviously COVID and stuff. But
I've only seen first season.
Oh, really? Dude, you should watch it, man. The whole show's like the Duffer brothers are from Durham, and there's so many North Carolina references in the show. And it's good. And you'd probably appreciate it too, because you were actually like, you know, what were you, like a teenager or like early 20s or in the 80s? Like, what were you?
No, I was a kid. I was born in 73.
But you were like, but you have like memories from the. It's not like. You weren't born in like 88, and you're like, oh, I'm an 80s.
No,
baby.
No, no.
Like,
the 80s were the most formative decade of my youth.
Yeah, so like it's a love story to the 80s, man.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, yeah. Well, I'll watch. I know that the fourth season just came out, and it reminded me that. That the original title of Stranger Things was going to be Montauk.
Oh, shit, was it? Okay.
Yes, and it was going to be set at Camp Hero, which is now a state park in Montauk, New York. And then last minute or something, someone decided they would move it to, I think it's set in Indiana.
Yeah, Hawkins, Indiana, I think it's a fictional town.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is a real-life government facility in Montauk, on Camp Hero, which has long been the subject of many conspiracies. And I thought, like, just so that people know the kind of the backstory of the real Stranger Things, that we would delve a bit into it today. One of my favorite frickin' places.
Have you been there?
No, I've always wanted to go.
It's creepy looking.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've heard.
There's like two like military installations that I've seen, and I've been like, they've like sent chills down my spines. Wow. One is Camp Hero. The second, I cannot remember the name of it, but it is in northern Maine, like as close as you can get to the Canadian border. And it's just, I'll see if I can drop a link or some, or a picture in the, it is, it's just like a mass of towers, of like those like radio towers.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's one concrete building in the middle. It's so fucking creepy looking, dude.
Yeah. There's a lot of creepy stuff at,
yeah,
at Montauk. I mean, they built it, they built it, the base to look like a fishing village to protect it from invasion.
Sneaky.
Like some of it looks very military, like concrete blocks.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you don't know where we're talking about, this is at like the absolute extreme end of Long Island. So like, yeah, like
the Bell End or the other end,
the end that past the Hamptons, like the, where the uber rich live. There's this like base that's been there. Well, really it's been a military, facility for almost as long as white people have lived there. And maybe even before, like the Revolutionary War is a very important base, because that's where the British all came into the Hudson.
Yeah. Right? Montauk is like, yeah, it's a fishing town now, but it was like strategically very important in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a military base for quite a while. And it's it juts kind of out into the Atlantic. And it was active up until, I think, 1991, where it was officially shut down. Although, to be honest, there is much speculation that it wasn't shut down, which we'll talk about. And it was after it shut down, like in 1992, that the rumors and speculation really started to fly about what really went on there, mostly because of a book called The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time by Preston Nichols. Now, Nichols is one of several people who claimed through hypnosis and therapy, they recovered suppressed memories of experiments that they were forced to undergo at Montauk.
That's cool.
Yeah. So they claim that in the 70s and 80s that Montauk was kidnapping wayward boys in the Long Island area. Runaways or criminal, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they would take them down into the base and they would run experiments on them that involved at times time travel and other peculiar things.
I mean, dude, if you need a surplus of street urchins, New York City is the place to be, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like I can't, especially in the 70s and 80s, like when it was just a lawless land.
Yeah,
like,
no, there was no silver. What, I don't know what the Amber Alerts. There's no Amber Alerts.
No Amber Alerts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about the 80s, which I've talked about.
311 hadn't released Amber yet. So, right. you know, that actually, Amber Alert is from the 311 song.
But, you know, you would lose track of a friend for months. Like you would. Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone would leave and go on vacation. You'd be like, I don't know if they're home or not.
I remember my friend when I was like a kid, like his parents like did like a 3-month road trip. And I was just like, oh, he's dead. Like,
you had no idea.
Yeah, dude.
Clue, man.
I got like a postcard like 6 months after the fact, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Crazy. Like watching old media. I mean, even Stranger Things, like this season and any of the seasons, like, you know, a big plot point is like, oh, where are they?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like
right,
they'll
yeah.
like they'll split up and I'm like, God, I've never mean, I guess maybe when I was really young, like we still had pagers. Like
yeah. Have you tried to live like that? Have you tried to like go off the grid for a day and just find people to hang out with? Have you ever done that?
Man.
No, that'd be crazy, dude.
When I lived at downtown in the apartment, I was like, there's stuff going on downtown Raleigh. I'm just going to walk around. And I'm sure I always run into people. I'll run into somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that was the saddest day of my life. I walked downtown, I walked like 40 miles, friendless and sad.
Dude.
I need a phone.
I dropped by a friend's house unannounced.
Oh,
like you used Which to. I saw his car.
That's totally normal, but it's like, that's unhinged.
Yeah, it's
now.
Unhinged. It is, yeah. He was like, what, everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just passing by and I saw your car and just thought I'd stop by and say hello. Yeah, I think it just adds to the idea that like you could probably get away with kidnapping local boys.
Oh yeah.
In the, 100%, dude.
Yeah, like
you could get away with, I mean, you just dress up like a priest and be like, ah, it's church. I'm picking these kids up for church. Yeah, and no one,
normal.
It was the 80s. People were like, that's checks out. That's fine. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus it's like the Montauk is like past the Hamptons. And so if you like, you're just like, hey, kids want to go out to my place in the Hamptons. And they're like, yeah, sure. And then you like, just keep driving.
And it's like, it's out there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It's way out there.
Yeah. When I lived in New York the second time, whenever I would get depressed, I would drive out to Montauk and it was just like, I'd get like halfway there and I'm like, oh, this is longer than I thought it was.
Yeah, Long Island is
it's long.
It's a Long Island.
And when you get towards the end too, it's creepy because you can see the water on both sides.
Right.
And you're just like, what's stopping anything from just wiping this place off the map? Right. Like the ocean is scary, dude.
It's like the Outer Banks. I was there this week and it's like
same
you can see both sides.
There's more about the actual island and especially Montauk. Coming up.
Tight.
The book I mentioned, Preston Nichols, The Experiments in Time, is a postscript to what was called the Phoenix Project, or what was called sometimes more often the Philadelphia Experiment, which is related to the work by scientists at the Montauk Air Force Base in the 40s. With radar invisibility. And when I say scientist, let me be clear. We're talking about, I think his name's Henry von Neumann, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, like the greatest minds in the world were all working at Montauk in the 40s, helping the war effort. And
yeah,
it's a good gig.
Yeah. And what's weird is that Einstein had previously said that, according to his unified field theory, space-time manipulation is possible and that we should experiment in this to see if we could help the war effort.
That's cool.
All three of them were working together at a university lab, and then they joined forces to work for the U.S. military during the war out at Montauk, which I think that's true. And so when people think about what was supposedly happened at the Philadelphia experiment, which do you know what supposedly happened?
No, I know the Manhattan Project. I don't know the Philadelphia.
This is even crazier. Get ready.
Okay, so this is what supposedly happened during the Philadelphia experiments. There was they were experimenting with radar invisibility and trying to make boats seem radar. So they were running a test on the USS Eldridge.
Okay.
And they were going to make it like invisible, right?
Yeah.
Now, there are some people that say they weren't experimenting with radar invisibility. They were experimenting with literal invisibility.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so they ran this test, and it was in a harbor, I think, in Norfolk or something. I don't know. Or maybe it was in Philadelphia. I don't know where it was. But they ran this test, and the boat disappeared. And everybody's like, whoa, it worked. And von Neumann was like, no, it didn't work. That's not what was supposed to happen. No. And he like runs up and he's like, fuck, we're fucked, we're fucked. And he's like, I got to bring it back. And then the boat reappears. But when it reappears, all chaos is broken loose. And supposedly, like, sailors on the boat were like grafted into the fuselage. Like they were
half out.
Yeah, like. Half of their body is up and they're screaming and
pain.
And what allegedly happened is that they shot it forward in time and a boat magically appeared in like 30 years in the future in the 70s. And then they were like, oh shit. And they brought it back. Now, just that little bit of space-time manipulation apparently caused a huge, huge rift in the space-time continuum. So much so that later, people said they built a time tunnel between the two times, like 1943 and 1970 something.
Yeah.
And like guys were going back and forth to help repair that space-time continuum, right?
Damn.
So like how they did that, I don't know. I would assume you would just try to like have as few people see the ship appear in the harbor?
I guess it depends on where the ship. I guess if they shot it into the harbor.
I don't know how you repair the space time continuum.
She's got to shoot a lot of people in the face.
I think about this stuff all the time where I'm like, man, if I was like truly alone, I think I would go on like a quest to just like find paranormal shit or find stuff like that. Like if I didn't have like any family and like no relationship,
you can still do it.
I still could. I'd probably lose all those things. I don't have enough money to do it, but I'm just like, there's too many stories about stuff like this for us to just be like, it didn't happen. Right. I want to walk out in a desert in New Mexico and just talk to people and be like, all right, where should I go? You tell me, and then meet another person. Where should I go? And like, there's gotta be some weird, I don't know. There's like, maybe that, like there's a superhero somewhere or like a superhuman that we're hiding. Yeah. Like, you know, there's weird stuff that I want to find. Hearing stuff like this is like, oh yeah, that we just shot a boat 30 years into the future.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that some people say that this book has been widely debunked, but there have been some things where like there were reports of the SS Andrew Furuseth that they did claim to see a warship appear out of nowhere in the Norfolk Harbor and then disappear in 1943. And that alone, and plus the collection of scientists who were working there was pretty remarkable. So everyone sort of thought like, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's got enough to it that the rumors have persisted. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, after all of that, this is kind of more what we're talking about today, is there was a guy by the name of Joe Lofrino. He's 53 years old the article I read, which is pretty recent. He grew up in Montauk and he works at the parks at Camp Hero. Like he's a park worker.
Yeah.
And he went in for hypnosis and treatment, and he experienced these suppressed memories of being tortured and tested on at Camp Hero.
Wow. Now,
the reason that I bring up Lofrino is that the other people who have come forward are, I don't know how to say this, like whack jobs a little bit. Lofrino is as normal as it comes, right? Like he's got a girlfriend. He's a dedicated father. He works at the park. Like his people in the area are like, he's a great dude. He's a straight shooter. He's not someone that, you know, and he said like, look, I know this happened. Like I can remember it distinctly, so much so that he said, I remember one of the places where they took me. So he and his friend went and started digging and they hit an underground bunker.
Oh, damn.
And nice. He was like, I know if my boss would let me that I could dig this up to the entrance and I could walk in and tell you what's inside of there.
Wow.
And like his boss wouldn't do it. And Lofrino was like, yeah, I work here. I can't jeopardize.
Yeah.
My job, which by the way, what a classic New York take.
Yeah.
On something. I know I was tortured in this fucking bunker, but you know what the fuck? I ain't gonna lose my job over it.
Yeah. If I don't do this job, who's going to do this job?
It's pretty ballsy to continue to work at the place where you were tortured.
Yeah.
When you were 12 years old.
Yeah. But to be fair, I've worked at a startup. It's probably similar. You're just constantly tortured daily, but you're like, I just need a paycheck. Can we just get through this?
I mean, what's the thing where you fall in love with your captor?
Oh yeah. Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
It's Montauk syndrome. That's
what it was. Montauk syndrome. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first time his memory, he said that, there were men, dressed in civilian clothes waiting inside this bunker that he located, who ushered, a bunch of boys into a sunken base. He and other boys were brought underground through what's called Battery 113. It's one of the many sealed gunneries that's all over the Air Force base. And he says he remembers lying on the table with wires coming out of him like electrodes.
Whoa.
And he said that we were analyzed like animals. He said there was up to like 50 kids there. And he definitely remembers some of them not making it out like he did. But some of them did not. Kind of crazy,
man. All those kids, I bet the Catholic Church was involved.
Yeah. Or it's just the inspiration for the movie Annie.
Well, you know, the other thing about it that I think is crazy is that there's another guy. There's people that like that for whatever reason, they feel like the conspiracies about Montauk have unfortunately overshadowed the real meaningful history of Montauk. Oh. Like nobody goes to Montauk to see like the remains of a Revolutionary War base and its very important history. They go to try to fucking see an alien and these people who are just like, this isn't fair. And so,
yeah, like no one's going to New Mexico to see the site. So like, I want to find Area 51.
Right. Exactly. So this guy was like, these guys are all full of shit. I'm going to prove them wrong. So he employed a geophysicist to analyze the ground, right? Beneath the base. And what he came back was like, okay, I'm wrong. There is a massive underground structure here that is not available on any maps. And people started to look into it and they were like, yeah, that's weird, because when the military gifted the land to the state of New York for the state park, they specifically in the contract said that it does not include anything below the ground.
Oh.
Right. Now there have been countless stories of people, like there's a guy that goes and like reads the electric meter and he's like,
oh yeah, okay,
like, this electric meter is powering a small city. I don't know what's going on down there, but it doesn't make any sense.
Who's paying that bill?
I mean, state of New York, probably some like weird money shit going down there.
Right? Probably the guy that works there. That's why he can't quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, you know, the people. So people have said like, look, one, there was more going on there than the government's ever admitted to. Right. And there's probably still stuff going on that the government doesn't want to admit to.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, for example, is that there is a antenna that's still there. I mean, it's not functional now, but it was a massive antenna. Now, about 50 miles from there, you guys may or may not know that Tesla built his radio tower in Wardenclyffe, about 50 mm-hmm. miles. Oh, yeah. Nikola Tesla was doing some bizarre things on Long Island about 50 miles from Montauk, where he was like communicating wirelessly around the world and even believed that he had contacted aliens. And the crazy thing about Wardenclyffe was not what was above ground, but underground. He had a massive structure underground that people never knew what he was doing down there.
Damn. All right.
And then over at Montauk, just down the street where he eventually worked, they built this other antenna, which emitted up to 425 megahertz, which people found peculiar because that is the frequency which Tesla and others had found was needed to enter human consciousness. So you can broadcast at 425 megahertz and you could actually contact people and you can send messages into people's brains without
straight to the dome.
Which is crazy because they just came out with an article recently that talked about how they have figured out how to. There's two different things they came up with. One is manipulating people's thoughts with blue light, a blue light frequency. Right. They figured out how to put thoughts into people's heads with that. And then they just came out with another one I saw on Reddit was using some nanomaterials allow people to. I haven't read the article, but it's interesting that we're already doing that stuff. But they're doing it back in the day one way, and now we're coming up with other ways to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Damn, that's wild, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, another clue that there is more going on there than the government has let on is what was called Operation Pastorius, which was a failed 1942 attack on Montauk by four Nazi super spies.
Wow.
So Nazis tried to come ashore on Long Island and like go to Montauk and do whatever they needed to do there. Right. And like, it's very bizarre because like, I didn't ever know that Nazis tried to come to our land. I mean, not openly like that.
Were they trying to like blend in?
You know what they did? They the mission was
just walking out of the water like, whew, man, there's a war going on, but yeah. Those waves are great, guys.
Yeah, here for some crab cakes.
Cakes? Dude, you should go read the story because it's so it's like a comedy of errors. They tried to come aground at night and they ran aground on a sandbar and then somebody spotted them struggling and then they came into land. And they were like talking in German. And then one guy's like, no need to worry. He has some money. And he just gives this guy like $267. It's just like the most random amount. Like, I think actually what it was.
And it was in Deutschmark. So like, what the fuck am I
doing? He's like, they came over here with a wad, like $175,000 of US dollars. And they're just like, Americans will do anything for money. So
I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah, right. So like, he just gives this guy money. And the guy's like, what a great day for me. And then he runs to the Coast Guard, you know, and then he's like, Nazis on the beach. And then,
I'm reading up on it. The guy, like the leader of the thing, left sensitive documents.
It was so bad on the train. It was so bad. They were the worst spies ever, but they tried to come and like go to Montauk. And it just makes me think there had to be something going on there that the Führer was interested in. Like, he must have known that, like, and not to mention, and I don't know if you're familiar with Operation Paperclip, Spencer.
Yeah, I know that one.
I mean, most of the Nazi scientists that under Operation Paperclip became U.S. citizens, they went to Montauk to work.
Yeah.
That's where they went. That was where they were housed. And
yeah, people are like, they're like, man, how are people still Nazis in America today? And I'm like, boy, do I have some information for you.
Funny that you ask, because I mean, look, the history of the U.S. and our sympathies for Nazis would appall most people.
Right? Yeah, big time.
Maybe the problem is that you're appalled by a country that has a long history of like racial discrimination. Like, why would we do that? It's like, do you know about the genocide of Native Americans? That's what we are. Yeah. So here's some things that I also find very interesting. So when they did that, geophysicist came in and did this mapping. They discovered that Montauk is an incredibly unique geological structure. It's actually a mountain that comes up to the surface of the ocean, and it's constructed of like very rare minerals and things. And there is speculation that it is a vortex of energy. So it is not just a normal place. It actually has like some very, very bizarre properties, which would make sense if you're building an underground labyrinth to like conduct crazy experiments. That are you like harnessing sort of like some sort of energy source from inside the earth?
Yeah. I would think the vortex would make it hard, because vortexes seem to me as an unstable thing, but maybe if they tap into it some way.
Think that that one of the issues with time travel is the energy requirements?
Yeah. That's what stopped me.
Right. I mean,
I got an old circuit breaker in the house. It won't allow it.
There's also like rumors of a nuclear reactor underneath the ground,
I don't know how to explain it, but like I asked up top and I forgot. Have you guys been to Montauk?
No.
Dude, it's creepy out there. Like, you get out past a certain point on Long Island and it just feels weird.
Like weird energy vibes.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a significant shift in energy. And you're like, I can't explain it, but something feels not right out here.
Right.
Yeah, they have the Acid House on Montauk. Have you ever been to the Acid House? It's like this crazy house where the interior is all painted in psychedelic colors. And it was like part of the military installation. And people are like, what the hell were you doing in the Acid House, man?
Oh, that's cool.
I'm
looking at pictures of it now, though. That's rad.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. I mean, it's weird that it was all kind of like a fishing village, made to look like a fishing village. Like, the church was a gym. And
dude, it's so weird because like now, like if you read up on that, the town that I sent you about that place in Maine, it is a fishing village.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. It's in Cutler, Maine. And it's, that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the rumors of what's goes on down there. I mean, they pop up every so often. Like, you may remember the Montauk Monster, which washed up on shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was weird, dude.
Yeah. Do you know what the official explanation for that was?
Was it a dog with mange?
Yeah, they said it was like a dog that had been waterlogged or something.
No, they've come out now and said it's a raccoon. And you go look at that picture.
No, I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Like, no, people are like, what raccoon has legs that long?
Also, no. Like, raccoons don't have horned beaks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is that, like, yeah, they said it was some kind of canine, and then people came out and they're like, there is no canine in the world that has that brow and face structure. Like, that's, you know, and then some guy's like, no, it's a raccoon, and that's just been waterlogged so much. And then people were like, no raccoon in the world has legs that long. Like, they don't have those kind of, look at how long its front legs are.
Yeah.
Those of you listening, like, it may have been 20 years, but at least 10 years ago, this freaking hybrid washed up on the beach and this crazy looking animal. And people were like, what the? People thought it might be a turtle without a shell. People were just baffled by it. But people that knew the Montauk story, they're like, well, what do you think the Nazis were doing in Germany before the war ended? They were trying to create hybrid animals that could help them in the war, right? I mean, maybe it's a dog raccoon hybrid. That would make sense to me.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if the Nazis, like, they're like trying to make this like insane fell beast, and they're like, we mixed a cat and a rabbit. It's not not lethal at all.
Yeah. Or we made Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Crash Bandicoot is actually just a Nazi experiment gone wrong.
Gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure that the father figures out there are looking daddy material this June. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature Lawnmower 4.0, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke. Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. Manscaped is designed with fathers in mind, and the Performance Package 4.0 is here just in time for your pop special day. Inside this package, he'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all his goodies. First off, let me start by saying the Lawnmower 4.0 will be the official MVP of Father's Day. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof, also has a 400K LED spotlight that he needs for a more precise shave. Does your dad use the same trimmer for his body and his face? Let's throw that out the window and give him an upgrade he deserves. But wait, there's more. Manscaped just launched their brand new Boxers 2.0 that I dare say are the best boxers ever. We all know dads love their comfort. With summer just around the corner, the Boxers 2.0 are here to save every father from the uncomfortable heat. These new boxers are packed with revolutionary features, including the Jewel Pouch, designed to cradle his boys in their own special space. And this right here is a game changer. Whether he's mowing the lawn, taking out the trash, or golfing in the sun, these moisture-wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat. Dads, buy this for yourself. Sons, buy this for you and your dad. Ladies, buy this for your man. And dog daddies, you deserve this treat too. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at Manscaped. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code CBM20. Shake what your mama gave you? Nah, shake what your daddy gave you.
We've talked about this, is that, you know, the Nazis were this group that had unlimited funding, but also just blank check. Like, I mean, let's see what happens if you shoot electricity through people. Let's try to control mine. Let's give them drugs. I mean, it was totally, and look, they just brought that same mentality to the United States of America. And they're just like, you know, well, maybe we can emit radio frequencies at 425 megahertz, and we can control human consciousness and make people do the things we want them to do. I mean, and all of that is what's been going on at Montauk, supposedly, since the 1940s. Wow. It's got this weird energy signature, which might be what allows them to, you know, and maybe that's why Tesla had this crazy underground layer at Wardenclyffe that he needed to power whatever experiments he was doing there.
That's wild, man.
I mean,
it is funny how like we have these things that were like serious, real things that happened in the world. You know, even if the, you know, the conspiracy stuff is not real, it's like, no, this is a real place that happened. Mm-hmm. There were military stuff going on there. And then like Hollywood's like, let's make a funny show about it. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's but one of the things that we've run up against constantly is that Hollywood, the CIA and the government has
right.
Many yeah, times they have done soft disclosures. They have right in order to avoid right the inevitable truth, they yeah. release it in a fictitional way so that people who believe it are sort of scoffed at, and it becomes harder to sort of, it just obscures and misdirects the truth.
Right. And, the weird stuff, the stuff is like way worse than the weird stuff that people come up with. It's like, yeah, yeah sure. There's right. like, we made a ship disappear when actually.
Yeah. It'd be funny if the part about Stranger Things is like, hey, look, I know we took some creative liberties. We've been some things that actually happened in the 60s, not the 80s. Okay. Right, yeah. Every other part is true.
Yeah. I think that probably troubles me the most is where we're at in the conversation, which is you hear the stories and immediately people are just like, that sounds ludicrous.
Yeah.
And then you start to hear the things that, well, the government now admits to, they have admitted to performing experiments in quantum physics, mind control, and psychic warfare at the Brookhaven lab during the Phoenix Project, which was the precursor to Montauk. So it's like, no, we weren't doing that. And then later they're like, yeah, we actually were doing that. We just didn't want to tell people at the time.
Right. Yeah.
And so because the government always seems to tell the truth in stages and in little leaks and things, that it then allows you to speculate that, like, what else have they not told us? Right. And so I always go back and forth. I'm like, on the one hand, I think we all want to know. On the other hand, I'm like, we probably don't want to know.
Right.
Like, we probably don't. We probably,
yeah.
I mean,
I'm outraged enough about life. I don't add more to
yeah,
my
plate. Yeah. It's like we say, like, oh, like, you know, like, I wish they just tell us that, like, time travel's real, or like, there is a dimension of like weird beings. It's, or like, even at like the root level, like I've been reading up a lot on like, you know, like the people going missing in Yosemite and how everyone's skinwalkers or whatever the hell they're called.
Yeah,
or
right, yeah.
And it's like, you think you want to know, but then if the government comes out and they're like, hey, look, the woods is unchecked territory. We don't know what's in there and it's not safe. Then everyone's going to be like, okay, well, I'm never leaving my house again.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Right, yeah. Like, yeah, what if the National Park Service was created to keep those people in a habitat to where they didn't start, like the way we get deer in our yard because we killed their habitat and they're always coming into our yard. Like, so what if we got rid of the forest? We'd have Bigfoots eating our plants every day.
The national park is really just a giant zoo to keep skinwalkers contained.
That's correct.
That's your argument.
That's fun.
Totally.
I like it. I mean,
yeah, it's fun, right?
You know, I mean, I think that whatever the motive is, and people speculate all the time about the motive, your point is right on, Spencer, because the one thing that the government definitely wants is they want people to wake up tomorrow and go to fucking work. Like, if the aliens are running the show and they're like, we'll tell people that when they will wake up the next day and just be like, all right.
Yeah. Look at how we fucking handled COVID. Like something that was actually like killing people. They're like, hey, we don't know. It could be bad. Right. It could be, but we're going to close down for 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, right. I mean, it's back to our guy, Joe Lofrero, that's just like, yeah, I know I was raped and tortured, but I got a fucking job to do. So
I got to work these turnstiles.
Yeah, right? I ain't fucking going to try to upset my boss, you know?
Someone's got to cut the grass at this fucking national park. It ain't going to be me.
It must be terrifying to go through hypnosis and then have
A memory pop up
that you become convinced is real.
Well, that's why they've dismissed it. So many cases, they stopped using it because they realize it's real easy to make people think stuff when they're hypnotized.
Yeah.
As an accident, not like just saying, oftentimes it's kind of like leading a witness. It's like, did you see any beings? And it's like, well, maybe I did see beings. And
then
because your brain under hypnosis is similar to having a 2-beer buzz.
Yeah.
To where you're like, I'm just a little bit saucy and I'll agree with this.
One of the guys that looked into Montauk, who was a doubter and then became a believer, had a quote in an article I read that said that it essentially, the imagination is a very powerful thing. And everyone who's looked into Montauk, whether what they find is real or not, comes back changed. And it's, it challenges your perception of reality, because there's just so much under the surface that doesn't make sense. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's aliens there. I don't know anything. I just know that there's something going on more than, and if it's not that bad, then just fucking tell us, which makes me think it is that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, how big of a threat are the Nazis at this point? Like, I mean,
well, currently in America, pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I go back and forth on this, and I'm definitely starting to feel more like, don't tell me anything. Honestly, as much as I want to know stuff, don't tell us any of this shit, because it's got
blue pill, red pill.
Yeah, I mean, just read this book called Three Body Problem. It's a really good book. It basically discusses what would happen if a civilization made contact with aliens. It's kind of controversial. Netflix was working on a movie, and the author was murdered, and also said he was supported the Uyghur camps. He's a Chinese author. But it's a really interesting book, and like, tight. But the reason they're keeping it from is because the people reacted exactly the way they thought they would if they found out, and shit just, it does not go well.
Yeah, so yeah.
I mean, keep it from man. Like, people, I know, like, in the Matrix, I just rewatched the Matrix to see if those movies hold up at all. Nope. And the first one does.
Yeah, first
one. But, you know, Cypher, everyone's like, oh, he's such a bad guy. I'm like, yeah, he is, for selling out his friends. But at the end of the day, he's like, look, I don't like that the world sucks. Like,
his
whole thing, ignorance is bliss, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, give me that steak. Wet steak.
People think that they want the truth. It's like, nah, dude, you're happy going to Target and living in your house. Just stay there.
Exactly. Like, look how much we've all flipped out now knowing that you don't have to go in the office and work. It's like, what the fuck? You know what? I should never have known that. I should have just thought that it was fine to go in the office every day.
Yeah.
Now I know I don't have to, and now I don't ever want to go back to work. Great.
Man, this is really interesting, man. I mean, I think as much as I think on this show we try to uncover things that are sort of glossed over or you know, crazy or wild, like, you dig to a point and you're just like, I don't know, man. I mean,
I don't know.
I don't fucking want to know what's under there, you know?
Right. And there's usually good reason to hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you look at the shit going on. Shane, have you watched the new Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you look at this stuff going on and it's like, I don't know, man. I'm good. I just want to be an extra playing in the arcade in the background, dude.
Exactly. I know. And I auditioned for that, and I didn't get the role, and I'm glad I didn't.
You auditioned for they're like, we want you to be the hot monster for the new season.
No, they had me audition for an insane asylum guy.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but of course, mine was so theater facey. I was like, no wonder I didn't get that part.
I got to say, man, it was a weird creative choice this year. Like, the last three seasons, like, it's like a weird smoke being, and then it's a crazy monster. And then this year they're like, oh, it's a hot guy covered in gooey tentacles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they went hard on that.
What are you guys' final thoughts on Montauk? And let me just to summarize it all. The theory on Montauk is that on the edge of Long Island towards the tip, that there has been at least for 80 years, if not longer, a Air Force base and most likely an underground Air Force base that has done a lot of experiments in quantum physics, time travel, psychic warfare, manipulation through radio waves, probably some drug experimentation, which goes along with psychic warfare, and that the government may have run experiments that kidnap children. And did experiments on them. We know from other things that the government did do that children make excellent time travelers for whatever reason.
It's because they're so small they could fit in the wormhole.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's the theory of Montauk. You know, this is where I think I land on this is that. Someone said recently that people always ask about, well, if there's time travel, like, why don't we see those people? Right.
Yeah.
And someone said, well, time traveling is like building roads. Like once somebody time travels once, a road's built and people can go back and forth. Mm. And I'm slowly becoming convinced that there has been some level of space-time manipulation, which explains a lot of phenomena that we've experienced in the last 40, 50 years. And I think that the government actually knows about it. Yeah. I think there's actually a known, some known anomalies in the space-time continuum. And whether that's related to certain places that make time travel possible, or experiments that were done that created these roads that sort of allow people to go back and forth. I think it would explain things like the Mandela effect, the ones that are really, really mm-hmm. bizarre.
Yeah.
So I think something happened, and I think the government knows about it, and they definitely can't tell us that. But I don't know if we'd really want to know. I don't think most people would care.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think I've brought this up on the pod before, but when in 2015 or 2017 or whatever it was when the UFO stuff hit the New York Times, I was telling my dad about it, and he was like, you know what? There's more stuff on Earth you got to worry about. Why are you paying attention to this? And I was like, this could change the world.
Right.
He's like, yeah, but you still have to wake up in the morning and feed your cat and do these things. It's like, what does it matter? It's like, to me, it's like, I want it all to be true because it's fun. It's cool. I love science. Yeah, I love all this stuff. Right. Unfortunately, the way we get to a lot of discoveries is doing bad things to good people oftentimes, which is kind of a bad thing about progress in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying it has to be that way, but I don't know.
It's a shame that human experimentation is such a frowned upon thing.
Right. I mean, it is unless you're agreeing to it.
Big farmer.
Like volunteered.
Yeah. Like I'll take this drug and see what happens. Like
what if they said, we need people to do this experiment and we don't know what's going to happen. You could die. You could be deformed. You might end up a superhero or a supervillain. We don't know.
Right.
But here's what we'll do. You sign up. We'll give you 5 years of a rock star lifestyle. Like you get fucking do whatever you want to do. Spend all the money you want. Do whatever you want. We'll fund it. And when that's over, you come into the base and then you're ours. And you know, if you survive and everything works out, then you get let go. And if not, I mean, I might do that.
You think you would?
I'd give me 10 and I'd do
10,
it.
10 is a 10 little years. Better.
Yeah.
10
yeah.
years of just blowing it out. At this
you could also just
life,
kill yourself at the end too.
Because five years goes by fast.
It goes real fast.
Especially when you're young.
Yeah. Because like that would.
10 years now at 48, I would say you're going to start experimenting on age 58. Well, fuck, I'll do it. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. I mean, just give me 10 years of just ripping it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
10 years of just ripping.
Yeah. there's got to be a way to experiment on humans. Well, we do, but we there's all these protocols.
It's got to be an ethical way to do it. Yeah. Do you guys you guys remember that old Comedy Central show? I think it was called like Testies.
No.
It was two dudes who just each episode. It was a sitcom. It was fake, but it was each episode they would try a different like trial drug. Like that was fun. They made rent by like doing.
Yeah.
Trial drugs and stuff and just going through the side effects. It was very funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have to check that out.
Have you ever like donated plasma or sperm or anything?
Oh yeah, dude, man. When I was a broke college kid, there was a place in Greenville that my roommate and I would just give plasma to all the time, dude. Yeah.
Wow.
It was like $100 a pop. That's like 2 weeks of cookout.
It'd be cool if you found out that like that lack of plasma is debilitating and it's why you're
right. Yeah.
Unable to heal like poison ivy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctor's like, did you have my chance by give plasma multiple times when you're in college?
Yeah. That's why you're dying.
Yeah.
I wanted to donate sperm, but I found out I was too short.
To donate sperm?
Mm-hmm.
Some women want short sperm.
Not enough of them.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the qualifications for? I thought it was just
tall.
Tall.
Yeah.
Just tall.
Yeah. That's why you got to put it in a cup and then have your tall friend bring it.
The only reason for sperm donations is to impregnate women.
Isn't that what sperm is for?
Yeah, I feel like we could do cooler stuff with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I had to donate sperm once, but to my wife.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get pregnant. Too. So we did essentially artificial insemination, but it was
interesting.
It was my sperm. But
So which kid is that?
It didn't work. But you know what? I'll tell this story real quick. We tried it twice. The first time I did the collection at the facility,
mm-hmm. yeah,
which was near my office. And so I was like, I'll just pop over there, rub one out, give them
pop
some
in,
sperm.
Pop out.
Yeah.
It was the worst experience of my life. Like the woman thought that I was taking the cup home with me, and I was like, nah, it's going to do it here. And she was like, okay. And my wife showed up because she was just like, I feel like I should be here for this. And so like they let me in a room and they're just like, pop the door when you're done. And I kid you not, it had like, you know, like the bed you lie on in a doctor's office with the paper.
Yeah.
Oh. It had one of those, but it was a double for me and my wife. Oh, but it had double wide paper. And so
that
like we're
sucks, because you can hear everything. You on hear everything. Paper, yeah. Too.
And like,
yeah.
So then I was like, I mean, like, and we were like, we had to get this thing going because like they have to do all this stuff to your sperm. And then they freaking have to like shoot it in your wife, like incubator and like stuff.
So yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah.
So we're kind of on a time crunch and I'm having trouble. And I'm like, yeah. Gee, this is embarrassing. So they have pornography there. And I'm like trying to find a video. And I opened the door because I was like, none of this is going to work. And she's like, are you done? I'm like, no. It's like, do you have any black porn? And
I was going to say, yeah.
I was like, because I really was like, I just got to get this out. So, so I finally did. And I swear it was like the worst volume I've ever produced in my life.
a dribble.
Yeah. Like. It was like, and I was like, man, this is not normal for me. She was like, have you ever measured your semen volume before? And I'm like, damn. No, but I've been jacking off for like 20 years.
I'm pro at this.
Yeah.
She did not believe me. So then we did it at home the next time. And I was like, I knew the date. And let's just say like, I took matters into my own hand leading up to that date.
You saved up. Yeah.
Yeah. Up, edged for like a week and a half. And then when it finally came, I mean, I filled the cup up. And like,
oh, Jesus,
I've never been so proud, so like handing it back to her being like, that's normal.
Told you.
Normal. Yeah. There you go, lady.
And she's like, there's like layers on this. Are you sure this isn't several days?
So yeah, that's my sperm donation story. It's the only time I've done it.
That's rad. Yeah. I've never done sperm. I've thought about it, but I've never done it.
Yeah.
Done a ton of plasma.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what are your final thoughts, Spencer?
Yeah, Spence.
Oh man, about jacking off. Let's see. I mean, I'm on the thing where it's like, I think this stuff is real. I have like a weird theory in my head whenever I see like an abandoned gas station or an abandoned house on the side of the road that's been there for like a really long time. Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like, that's a secret CIA base.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like right. you go in that house and touch a bookshelf the right way and it opens up and there's three stories under that house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, otherwise, why is it still there? So it's like, I look at something like Montauk or was it Fort Hero or Camp Hero. And I'm like, yeah, that thing's old and rusty. And I'm sure it's while we were talking, I was Googling. There's so many blogs of fucking kids breaking into it and taking pictures which is a liability, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So why would they shut it down?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's like, no, there's something. There's definitely. So I agree and believe in that regard. Now the thing where it's like, oh man, should we tell everyone what's going on? Absolutely not, dude. Right.
Just tell me and I won't tell anybody.
Just go to the mall sometime and wonder if those people need the truth.
Or just look at our history of the past 3 years.
Yeah. These people. Yeah, dude. It's like, it's like if we came out right now, tomorrow, fucking Cheddar News on every gas station TV drops the story and they're like, hey, man, Stranger Things is actually a documentary. And those things exist and everything in that show is real. And while you know what, while we're at it, Skinwalker's real. Bigfoot's real. The national parks are actually a prison for them. And it's like you'd have mass hysteria. And it would be two different kinds too. You'd have the people who are like, I am never leaving my house. Mm-hmm. I'm locking the door and that's it. And then you'd have the people who are like, well, it's time to kill me some monsters.
That's right. Let's get Bigfoot.
And then those people would be murdered.
Yeah.
So it's like I wanna believe that we'd handle the truth as a society. But I don't think we would. And this is one of the few times where I agree with the American government where I'm like, yeah, keep that shit under wraps, dude.
Yeah.
Right.
I think if it had been a time where, like, I think we have this idealized version of the 50s where, like, we all had a goal where we had just finished the war. We were American people together as one.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the only time they could have told us anything, because we're so divided and everyone would find their own way to change the narrative on social media and other ways that, like, we would never know the truth. Even if the truth came out, we would never know it because of all the ways it gets disseminated, like the sperm donation place.
Like the only time we could have dropped an announcement like that is when George Bush was standing on the rubble of the Twin Towers, and he was like, I got a message for Bin Laden. We're coming for your ass. Oh, and also aliens are real.
Well, I mean, people think that's why the pandemic, they revealed UFOs during the pandemic, because they're like, people are preoccupied. And they're like,
right. Yeah.
They dropped so much shit during the pandemic that was a 12-hour news cycle worthy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's crazy.
Man. Yeah. Shane, did you give your final thought?
I kind of rambled a bit I do in my final thoughts. My final thoughts, my second final thought is, yes, something happened there. I want to check it out sometime. I think there's tons of places like this all over the U.S., all over the world. And at some point, I would like to think that they were created initially for the betterment of society.
Right.
Whether or not people were tortured and killed for that.
Conspiracy beer me road trip. Go around to, like,
let's do it.
Yeah, I'm down. We need a camper.
That'd be fun, man.
Too bad I sold my
podcast camper.
I say, get your RV back, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to.
Cool, man. Well, Spencer, before we bounce out of here, how can people find you, follow you?
Yeah, you got, if you remember me from the last time, and Justin set it up top, I run a podcast called Bop or Flop Pod. Me and my best friend, also a comedian, Jordan Scott Huggins, we go through and we look at a date in history. And then from that date, we go and look at the Billboard top 10. And then we talk about if the songs are still good.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're actually about to go record an episode here in the next, like, 45 minutes. We don't have a date yet. But we have fun. We just wrapped up a live tour at the end of April, and the last episode of that from Charleston will drop on Tuesday the 14th.
Nice.
If you want to learn more, you can follow us on Instagram at Bop or Flop Pod.
Cool.
Or at our website, which is awesome, bopperflop.com. Nice. Which is awesome that we own that. And our Google fucking analytics on that are wild, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess bop or flop is like a very popular phrase.
Oh, really?
Just in regards to like Gen Z is taking it, and they'll be like, oh, bop or flop that game, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like there's little like e-boys on TikTok that'll like sit outside of a basketball game and interview people, and they're like, oh yeah, bop or flop Steph Curry's performance tonight, you know?
Man, you lucked out. Man.
Yeah, so if you Google the phrase bop or flop, our dumbass website comes up first. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I haven't picked up any listeners from it. We're definitely getting a lot of site traffic.
Oh, good.
Fair enough.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's crazy how coherent, our plug at the end was and our final thoughts were without drinking.
I know, man. Amazing.
Doing anything else during the pod. Yeah. Man, I should get COVID every day.
Conspiracy sober.
Drinking a lot of water, you know?
Yeah. Me too.
Well, I appreciate everyone listening. Check out the Patreon. Join us again. Until then, this has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Spencer Bland.
Peace.